Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Go.
Yes!
Rob! Rob!
Set off way too fast. He's gone. He's set off way too fast.
With Paul Tolkinson and Rob Deering.
That's a good start.
I forgot how runs start just then.
Just ambling along.
Oh, that's great. So where we go? We are. It's been raining all night, and it's just stopped raining.
Which is nice.
It's really nice. I was trying to convince my children this morning what a nice day it is. It's almost like the rainforest. And my daughter was like, "It's pretty cold."
Yes, Father. A bit cold for a rainforest.
But it's lovely, and we're going to go towards Alexandra Palace.
A reverse Ali Pali loop. With Highgate would flourish.
Yeah, sooner or later we will get to places where we always are. But we're doing it a different way.
So yes, we're doing it a different way.
Oh, look at that ahead of us. Cozy you can see seven. The mast, Ali Pali, misting on the horizon. I wonder if that'll even come out, but I'll try and get it. Please note, photo taken whilst running down the middle of the road. Mel Gibson in Lethal Weapon style.
So yeah, element of tension, because I'm going to Dubai later today, and I've done that old can't find my passport trick.
Yeah.
If it is a trick. I remember distinctly, because I got back from Hong Kong a couple of weeks ago, I remember putting my passport in a place where I thought, I'll remember where this is. And it's not with the other passports, because that would be too obvious.
Yeah.
So I'm going to put this in
a special place.
Yeah, yeah. So I think it's somewhere.
It's the great human myth, isn't it, the special place?
Yes, it's crazy, yeah. The special place that I can't
remember.
You've
got to hit yourself saying, I know I've put it somewhere good.
Yeah.
But that's somewhere good. It's not good, is it?
No, because it's not with all the others. And I'm slightly worried because George now...
Oh!
You okay?
Yeah, there was a bee. So it wasn't a bee, it was a spider. It was just right in the middle and I was about to run and, you know, basically run and try and catch it in my mouth.
All right, oh, okay.
Sorry.
No, George is in Manchester, so, and I remember him taking a passport up to
George,
Manchester.
George, did you take... No, let's not go back into that.
So that's slightly worrying. So, yeah.
So you think he might have your passport?
I don't think it's beyond the realms of possibility.
I'm just slightly shocked and upset that you need a passport to get into Manchester these days. I mean, the way the world's going.
They insist on it when Southerners go into Manchester.
Yeah. All right, mate. You're a student passport. What, biology?
It's funny because he was doing this... he was working in a recycling plant with some proper sort of like... blokes.
Yeah.
And they were sort of
chatting. They picked him up. Sorted him out, they turned him around and turned him into someone new.
Yeah.
And 5 years later, Ronnie's got the world at his feet.
Yeah.
No, I was thinking of a waitress in a cocktail bar. That's different.
And they were sort of chatting to him, trying to bridge a kind of geezer student divide.
Yeah.
And one of them was like, so what are you studying in Manchester? And George went, oh, biology. I went, pervert. It was that level. It was that level of chat. George was amazed. It's like, you know, it's incredible. It's incredible how they speak, Father.
I could barely understand.
Yeah. I think he enjoyed it. So how does this find you? You okay?
Good. I'm all right. I just want to... I'm interested to you just talking about Georgia. You clearly survived the great trauma of the drop-off.
Yeah, I am. The drop-off was... It was an odd one, because obviously I'd been thinking about it a lot. It had been huge in my mind.
Yeah.
And then when it came to it, it just felt quite natural, because you arrive there I mean, it was odd because I was literally dropped him off to unpack in the same car park that I'd been dropped off by my dad 30 years previous.
Yeah, he sold you some wood and sent you on your way.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. There's some kindling.
Just give me a fiver for that.
And it was really... So it was a nice little circle of life kind of thing. Yeah. And it was just so natural because you
get
there.
Did you go to a cliff near Manchester and hold him up over your head?
Judge is here!
I offer you to Manchester, my son, my offspring.
I was quite loud then. There's people all around the place looking at me.
It was just full of like kids coming from all over the country. It just felt really natural. It just felt like the next chapter.
That's great.
And it was just so exciting. It's just irresistible life stuff, you know. I mean, and I've had moments since he's left where it's been hard work, but it's just been okay. It's just the next chapter. The kids get more time, the other two. And it just feels okay, you know.
Not to be too much of a downer, but I think that that now, bang, bang, the other two are going to go. And you'll turn around in about a quarter of an hour from now. And you'll be watching the third one go off out of the house.
Yeah, I mean... They're just growing up.
What's this road called we're on now?
We're on Fernpark Road.
That road. We just run it up there. And, but we have to stop for this W5 to come round. I was talking to my wife about this at the weekend, and often. I just think the great lesson of life in parenting is... about time, you know. I think that basically, in our front brains, we completely understand about time and how it works and time passes and you get older and things happen, etc. But I don't think at a kind of primal, you know, ego level, I don't think we truly comprehend time. We kind of think of life as stasis.
Yes, the permanent moment.
Moment, exactly. And and all you're doing is just changing that moment all the time. You sort of manually go, oh yeah, it's changed all the time. But then when you got kids, you're just forced to watch time pass, like steady, like dead on. Yes. You're looking down the lens of it. Yes. And then it sounds awful, but you got ultimately exactly what that was. So you kind of dread this moment and you imagine this terribly sort of fear of change. And then when the moment comes, you think, now it's here. It's appropriate.
Yes, yeah, it was completely, undeniably the right time.
Yeah. Now it's like when we very first, got pregnant with my first child, you get the pregnancy book.
Yeah.
Week by week. And we read, we sort of dipped in here and there, look at some of the interesting stuff. And then it's like, no! Ah! And then we quickly said, whatever you do, don't skip ahead.
Yeah.
Because when you're at week two, week 38 sounds pretty rough.
Yes, yeah.
Because when you get there, it's not like it isn't rough, but, it makes a lot more sense.
It's all manageable, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, all manageable.
This brings us on to... Matt Wellcome's theory of time not existing.
No.
Timelessness. No. Time just being graded change. There's no such thing as time. Is he working on his tristies, which he sent to Stephen Hawking?
Yeah. King. Hawking.
Yeah. Hawking. Hawking his book to
no,
Hawking.
No, I'm saying he's the king. Stephen.
I don't know whether he got a reply.
If you have to describe what time is to illustrate the point that time doesn't exist, you've slightly... okay.
But that felt like a long conversation. He's got a point, though, because you're not registered. I always think that with running, isn't it? We've said this before. When you're running, it's like you're sort of in time. You measure it, but you're sort of out of it as well.
Yeah, I think...
Especially on the long, slow ones.
I think that really there's a kind of evolutionary factor. I think we're slightly, our kind of civilized brains sometimes bump up against the kind of basic hardware of our brains. You know, things, you just have to see things, you have to say, well, that seems to be this and it's that as well, you know, like, it's like going snorkeling.
Yeah.
You're in the sea, standing up, and there's other people playing in the sea and stuff, and it's all like normal and nice, and then you put your head under the water and start snorkeling. And in that second, everything's different. It's like you're on another planet.
Yeah, yeah.
And running, you go out for a run, you think, I'll run for an hour and a half. For 20 minutes, you think, that's 20 minutes of running. And after an hour, your instinct, your ego is thinking, I've been running for my whole life.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah.
You are in a different sort of reality, aren't you?
There is no moment. There is only the moment.
What a moment.
Yeah. Just live with that for a second.
Yeah. So, and how's the running been? We went out with Sophie, didn't we?
Yeah, that was
great. We went out with Miss Rayworth last
week.
That was
really nice. It was quite... What was good about that one was a real... I don't think we talked about it when we were doing it. It was a real dog run, wasn't it?
Yes.
Very nonsense. I mean, I think she knew how far she wanted to go, but she was very relaxed about it, and we didn't know. It was a real wonder. It was great.
She's a very impressive person, isn't she?
Yeah, she's an achiever.
She runs all the time. She does lots of stuff. And then she'll drop in things like, I used to be a high diving champion at school.
Yeah.
I mean, she's got a lot of bottle, hasn't she?
Yeah,
just on a basic
right.
level. And then she'll put on... She did a loop-de-loop with the red arrows you know, on Twitter or something. It's just
and then I think...
She's got no real fear, has she?
No,
she
and when she's, you know, she goes and reads the news every day, but when there was that thing in Parsons Green, she was on the scene doing, you know, reporting directly from the scene.
She's very, very... She's a very, very capable person.
Yeah, yeah. But hey, you know, I've got all my invoices done. Feeling pretty capable myself.
Yeah, no, you've done well. I mean, I've lost my passport. I mean,
we're
doing really
bristling with skills.
Yeah.
This is where the Crouch End 10K kicks off. But look what it looks like on September the 25th. It's nice. Don't get me wrong.
It's nice. Yeah.
I don't know what kind of trees these are, but they're the best ones. The ones that hold all the colours at once. Everything from green to yellow to deep red, like a kind of frozen explosion. If anyone knows their trees, they're great. I've been...
Have you done any
I went off on tour after that. I went to the West, did a gig in Cheltenham, gig in Wiltshire.
Right.
And a gig in near Bristol. And I was staying with our friend and compadre comedian Jared Christmas.
All right, he lives out in the country, doesn't he? Should we go cross country?
Nice. Nice, he's on the grass.
Little diversion.
Look at that's what it's all about.
Beautiful, yeah.
I went for a beautiful run, like a sunny autumnal run through some pretty, you know, posh villages.
Yeah. Nice.
And kind of steepled. It was there was loads. Everyone's got a little beautiful church in it, you know.
Yes.
Just
yeah.
Like point to point, and so nice. I think we should go down there, do his gig, and go for a run.
Be great, I'd love to do
that. I said that, and he said, yeah, do I have to come on the run? So, you know, we'll see. But, yeah, we'll do that. But that was excellent, and I didn't run that far, but I was trying to get my miles up. So I was going to run every day last week, but then I didn't run Wednesday or Thursday. It just wasn't practical.
Yeah.
And then I was going to run on Saturday. I was going to run to the... I was going to run quite far to the Hackney Marshes Park Run. And guess what happened early on Saturday morning?
I don't know.
I thought, sod that.
I'm too tired.
Yeah, too tired.
I'm not going to do it.
Lots and lots of drinking.
What, on Saturday night?
All last week, really.
Right.
Just ongoing. Gin. I want to imagine.
Deering's battle with the booze continues.
Yeah. The last chain back from Bristol.
People love it when we booze.
Yeah,
all the social
do.
Media's like, keep boozing. That's called enabling, isn't it?
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
Like Doc Holliday's girlfriend in Tombstone. And he says, maybe we should change our lifestyle. And she pours him a drink, lights him a cigarette, and generally continues to not change his lifestyle.
He says,
darling, you're an angel.
Yeah.
Although, of course, you might be Satan himself.
Here we go.
But,
what martinis, beers?
Lots of gins and tonics.
Right.
I was very strictly avoiding beer, but not avoiding booze.
Yeah.
So, just pints and pints of gin and tonic. I got them to do me a vodka martini in this pub in Wiltshire.
Yeah.
It wasn't a vodka martini. And it was funny because there's a really young guy. Must be about, yes, eldest stage behind the bar. And he said, I don't know how to do it. I'll get someone else to do it. And the next guy who got to do it was the same age.
Yeah.
Just teenagers going, I don't know what it is.
They didn't know who they were messing with, didn't they? They didn't know who was over the
and
other side of the
bar. Of
course,
I just looked like a total... I mean, I was a pillock, wasn't I? I don't suppose you'd be able to do me a vodka martini like I have in London.
You didn't say that, though. You didn't say, like we have in London.
That's not how it sounded to me. Well, I'm sure it's how it sounded to them. Fantastic gig that was. But yeah, I was so excited to be on the last train because I really wanted to be home.
Yeah.
There's lots going on at the moment. Yeah, back to school and other kind of shenanigans.
So you got the last train back on Saturday?
This was Friday night.
Right, okay.
Got the last train back from Bristol, having sort of another comedian whiz me to the station.
Yeah.
I celebrated on the train.
That's nice.
With gin.
What, gin that you bought on the train?
Yeah.
Nice, why not?
And, okay. And, yeah, it was special, but it meant I couldn't run 11 miles.
You couldn't do the long run, no.
But you know what I did on Sunday? I did one of these LSRs.
A long Sunday run?
Sunday run.
Good for you.
Yeah.
That's great.
Because I was pretty hungover because I had loads to drink on Saturday night.
Yeah, of course, of course.
Why not?
Bit of booze loading.
Yeah.
And where did you go on your LSR?
I went down, you know, when we do our 10 miles down to Limehouse Basin?
Yeah.
I did that.
Right.
It was fantastic. It was so gorgeous. There was just loads of people by the canal. It was a good lesson in not being angry runner. It's like, no, this is nice, you know.
This is great.
All these runners and cyclists and families and
coexisting.
It's like a blooming computer game.
Yeah.
Particularly after the other day, I was like, I'm going to fall over. And this time I'm going to actually dive into the canal. But it was lovely. And I went round Victoria Park on the way back.
Right.
Which, of course, is enormous.
It is, it's massive.
Always forget that.
So that was about what, 12?
12 miles.
Yeah.
But it was on Sunday, so it didn't count for last week's mileage. That's a shame.
But it bumps into this one.
Yes, it does. What about you? I think you've done something more exciting.
Well, I did a couple of runs and then I did
We've just got into Alexandra Palace Park, by the way.
Very nice.
This autumn, it's really nice, isn't it? I feel like we're probably in the country now.
I did the Southern Stages road relay, which was based in Crystal Palace.
So that's where you have to do 6,000 metres.
Yeah, yeah. It was like I was part of the vets team, London Heathside.
So did you have to minister to all the animals as you went round?
Whilst we're running.
Yeah.
Took a bit of time out.
Oh, look at it. This poor dog isn't going to make it. Yeah. Sorry.
You'll be fine, mate. You'll be fine. You'll be fine.
Don't mention Ralph.
I can't stop. And it was loads of club runners. It was great. I mean, to be honest, it showed me how unfit I am at the moment.
Right.
It was a 5K course. Really, it was meant to be 6K. I mean, it was really nice and casual because it was like, because no one pays any money to enter, all the distances were measured wrong. So... So the 6K leg came in about just under 5K. If you paid 20 quid to enter, everyone would be moaning. But because it's a club event, no one really cares. Everyone's quite relieved that they just ran less. Quite hilly. And I just not
Where were these hills? Where was it?
It was around Crystal Palace.
That's right.
And it was just really hard work, but I enjoyed it. But I'm just not very fit.
And how did your team do?
Well, I think... Quite near the back, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many fast people around, especially at that level, that club level. It's loads of just really fat, fast, fit young lads.
You said fat, but
yeah, loads of fat
lads,
fat, fit lads,
rolling down the hill,
just bulldozing out of the way. So, but interestingly, in the internal battle within Heathside, the vets team beat the men's team.
Excellent.
So that was good. So yeah, I overtook the senior man who was on my leg.
Yeah.
Who was obviously having a nightmare because I wasn't running very fast.
Yeah.
So that was great.
Yeah. Great.
That's the real competition. It's who wins between your own team.
Yeah, people you actually know.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. But it was a good laugh.
Excellent.
And it only took 2 hours to drive back from Crystal Palace.
Great.
So that was good.
Great, because that's handy for us.
Yeah. When you've been driving all week doing your gigs.
Yeah, and how good gigs?
Yeah, decent gigs. I had a weird gig on Saturday night. I got roped in to do this last minute gig at a place called Padbury, which is a really small village in Buckinghamshire.
Yeah.
And the promoter's like, oh, it's great that you're doing it because it hasn't sold that many tickets this week. So hopefully, you doing it will really add to the gate. Of course it didn't.
No.
So I arrive do the gig. And he's making it a big thing because it's a really small gig, but it's a big thing. We've got Paul Tonkinson here.
Yeah.
And then you go on first.
Yeah.
And you're just on first at quite a tough gig in the middle of Buckinghamshire, full of really posh, quite uptight people.
Yeah.
But it was fine. I worked it. The sound didn't work.
Oh, God.
That was the theme for Saturday, actually. Technical difficulties. Then I drove to Oxford Glee. Just before I come on stage, the compass on, all the lights go off on the stage.
Ooh.
And then the technician, he was one of those really, like, sort of festival-y, lazy light techs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Dude, just been doing light technician for years and years, just kind of awoke from his slumber. Managed to sort out some backlight, so then you're backlit while you're on stage.
Right.
Which is not a good look, is it? You're basically in shadow.
When you go to a comedy club, you think, I've done my bit, you know, I've done the journey, I've created the material.
I've worked on my stuff.
Years of experience. What you need to do was light my face
and
all like I need my
them,
voice.
All I need for them is them to see, So, but they don't realise, the crowd, it was still fine, but it would have been a lot better if they could see me.
Well, particularly...
It's a visual medium.
I mean, I really fuss about sound because I'm music stuff, but for you and I, it's very important that we're well lit because we've got ridiculous faces. I mean,
all my funny faces I'm pulling. You need to see them.
He's a gurner.
Yes, of course.
Look.
That's all I do. I'm basically just a traditional gurner.
Look at that. That's just the straight... That's just a normal... Just a Monday morning. He's been like that all the way. If you don't not get the pictures, it was kind of a
So, it was just gigs, wasn't it? I'm off to Dubai, hopefully, if I can find my passport. Hopefully, they'll be lit.
I think you have to remember Ozymandias by Percy Bysshe Shelley when you're in Dubai. I always do. Just imagine all those skyscrapers just back in the desert.
Yes, What a funny place.
Decidedly odd. But nice gigs.
Yeah, and to be honest, the relay yesterday... made me realise that I've got a bit unfit over the summer and make me want to get a bit faster again.
Oh, that's good.
Because you quickly get slower, doesn't it? Which sounds a paradox.
No.
But you quickly you
yeah because
lose
you're running
your temper.
You're running basic fitness. That's the difference, isn't it? That our cruising, our ability to cruise,
is fine.
And it's misleading because you think, oh, good, I can still run. That's what I found after my injury and stuff. But in terms of the kind of the headspace, the top bit where you're getting your best performance, that falls off.
You can't necessarily run fast, especially as you get older, because you're constantly getting older.
You're always pushing that. I'm not having it.
Yeah.
I'm going the Rayworth way. I'm not going to get older. I'm not going to get slower. So,
I was chatting to this legend at the club yesterday, on the way back from Pat Crisobellis, called Gavin Evans, and he's been running forever.
Yeah.
Complete. He's one of those who's got complete disregard for his own physical well-being. So he's got plantar fasciitis at the moment.
Yeah, just running on it.
Yeah, well, he couldn't run for about 4 weeks, and then he just said, I just had a conversation with myself and just decided to run. And, you know, it still hurts, but he's running. I mean, he's one of those. He just runs.
He wants to keep, basically.
Yeah, he's 57. And he said, I said, what are your goals? He says, oh, I want to still be beating 3 hours for the marathon when I'm 60.
Good goal.
I mean, that's amazing, isn't it, to maintain that? I mean, still beating 3 hours every year for the marathon.
Well, I was just going to say to you, you know, you've been doing this a little while, and you're always very open-eyed about, you know, not you, but people in general, getting older and how you can expect to lose pace. But, you know, then you've got your sub-3 marathon. You're running better than ever, so...
Yeah, but I think it's about trajectory of how long you've been back seriously running.
Yeah.
It's sort of... There's a levelling out. If I want to get more, you know, if I want to train progressively harder, I could probably get faster for another couple, two or three years.
Well, it's a balancing act, isn't it?
It's whether you want to do it.
That's why you want positive visualisation. It's very easy to, you don't want to be delusional.
Yeah.
But you've got to be optimistic, you know.
Yeah.
I already thought that after my last injury, that was it. I'd never be as fast again. And then I was just feeling pretty good. So now, I'm thinking I just want to quickly get better and get faster. And, you know.
Yeah.
And also, I'm years and years younger than you, which is great.
You're really way younger than
me. I'm like 25.
That's a nice little toilet, isn't it?
It's great, isn't it?
What do you need?
That's like the one I was in when I missed the Red Arrows at the Great North Run.
Just a nice little...
Why is that there?
Should we do a little reenactment? Oh, shall I wait? Shall I just be waiting?
I mean, the thing is, you would never go. You're losing time!
Yeah.
No, it's 3001.
It's that pre-racing, isn't it? The pre-race carsy.
Oh, God.
One toilet for, like, 40 blokes.
Yeah.
And 2 minutes to the start.
And the kind of visit that... Well, that was what happened. That's why I got that pretty good time at the Cannock Chase 10K. was because I was queuing for the toilet and I had to abandon it.
Yeah.
I had to run to the start in the last 30 seconds and then try and get round. But then I, of course, stopped to have my massive wee, and if I hadn't got behind again, I never would have made it back, but I couldn't listen to him. That's your prerogative, if you want to make that noise, that's fine.
We had a collapse at the relay yesterday. I hope he's all right. Some poor boy. It wasn't a particularly hot day.
The red arrows.
Little flyby on Rayworth on the way to work. Well, yeah, it wasn't a particularly hot day, but it was a little bit hot.
It was warm yesterday, wasn't it?
And this guy just came in. It was a proper, like you see on telly, kind of, because the finish was last 300 metres, you're back on the track.
Yep.
And he was falling and getting up and
wobbling
all over the place, and then he just collapsed, you know. And then, you know, first aid leapt to action. They were there to him within 15, 20 minutes, they were there.
Great.
And
yeah, bang!
Yeah, it was incredible.
Like lazy ninjas.
Yeah. But after about an hour or so, he was fine. But it looks pretty serious, so hopefully it's okay. It looked like massive dehydration. Or maybe just ill before he did it, because it's only 5K. So
yeah. We've said it before, but the temperature on the day can really throw you off.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just all your equations are out. Talking about 10Ks and events, I saw the inaugural Shoreditch 10K.
All right.
It was on the same day I was supposed to do
next week, is it?
Two weeks yesterday, Sunday the 8th. And I thought I might do that, but it's £40 to enter. That's a lot.
That's a lot of money, isn't it?
I mean, how does that make you feel?
What do you get for that? I just think it puts people off. I mean, yeah. What do you get for that, I wonder?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Medal, race pack, medal.
Timing, hipster pack.
Yeah.
You know. Hip flask.
Craft beers.
Yeah, yeah. Fake beard for social events.
Yeah. Tat sleeves and a fake beard.
Mobile spittoon. It's, I find that gobsmacking.
Yeah.
£40 for a 10K race.
Yeah, yeah.
It's over £6 a mile, isn't it?
I think when it comes down to it, it's that whole different urban generation of runners. And there's loads of good things about it, you know. It's tied in with social networks. It's really sociable in real life. They really know how to fit it in with a day job. There's loads and loads of women and men and people of all different abilities.
It's brilliant.
It's really democratic. But what that isn't included in that community is the traditional tightness of the runner.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
I'm just going to put on my singlet and go for a run.
People who don't want to spend £40 to run for 10K.
Yeah. There's
an event next Sunday, which I unfortunately can't do because I'll be jet-lagged coming back from Dubai, but it's a 10K in Victoria Park.
Yeah.
It's £5.
Yeah.
Fast, flat, 5K, you get about 200 people at it.
Yeah.
And it's just a good old tear around the park. Cakes and drinks afterwards for free. Do you know what I mean? Just very social, very community.
That's what throws that 40 quid into focus. You know, people think, well, I've got 40 quid, it sounds good, I'll do that. But if you go to Victoria Park and spend a fiver, then what are you not getting?
Yeah.
Oh, I can't do this, there's no... You know, what's the end of that sentence? There isn't one.
Yeah, I mean, you probably... You won't get a medal or what, you know.
Yeah.
People like medals, and that's
why I've got a little addendum to the whole medal conversation. And it's brilliant how, you know, the claiming the medal. And also, I think if you're really into the medals and you get a lot, what Sophie Rayworth is saying is really valid. You want to distinguish between them and say,
yes, yeah,
this one's really massive, or this one's really stylish. My problem is, whenever I get a medal and show it off, when I first finished the run, my family are incredibly supportive and I wear it for the rest of the day and da-da-da. Right. But, you know, I found my Great North Run medal a week later and popped it on for a minute. And my wife's like, it's a bit, Jim will fix it, isn't it? How's about? And I think that's, you know, again, I think the people who design these medals are young enough not to get that reference.
Yes.
Otherwise you wouldn't ever see a square one on the red ribbon. Not these days.
Yeah, I'm not that bothered. I'm not particularly medal orientated, I must say. But they're nice. London's on the mantelpiece this year.
Yeah.
So it was felt special.
The other thing is, and this is really drive me, but it's true, is that once you've got a few, they're deeply impractical. You know, they're noisy, they rattle.
Yeah.
If you want it, they get tangled up with each other.
Especially if you want to wear them all at once.
I want to snip all the ribbons into tiny rectangles and have them across my in a line across my chest like a
like
general.
Like medals, like Gaddafi or something, like some military general.
Gaddafi or Kenny Everett.
Yeah. that's the way forward.
Oh, look, this is the Go Ape in the Alexander Palace. They were building this last time I was here on my daughter's birthday.
Nice.
That's kind of going to want to do that. That's great.
That's obviously the next fashion craze, isn't it? Arriving at events festooned with medals, like military regalia.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Maybe have someone in front of you with a trumpet announcing your arrival.
But again,
in a warm-up area.
I played the South American, sort of military captain of the firing squad when I was in that porn film. So it's not a memory I want to go back to.
We don't often talk about your porn career.
No.
It's for later episodes, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. I'm not going to elaborate anymore.
How's your leg? Are you okay after yesterday?
Yeah, good. I feel fine.
Good.
Funny old thing. Still wearing slippers at home. Getting my feet up after standing up for a while.
Yeah.
It's all good. Definitely training now, you know. So I've done that Great North Run and that 12. Sometime in the next 10 days, I have to get
you're
out
gonna have
and
to
do
ramp
15,
it.
16.
Yeah.
Or more. What is it now? 6 weeks to New York?
6 weeks to New York,
yeah. So what I know now is I'm not going for my fastest ever time, but I will expect to be running it at proper pace.
Yeah.
Not just limping around.
Well, we'll go for a little run next week, won't we? We're going to find somewhere nice to go.
And I'll think of you on Saturday, because I'm going to do a long run on Saturday morning.
Right.
Up from Jury's Inn in Brighton, up over the Downs.
Oh, nice. Very nice.
Great days. So now we're by Halley Pally. And this is on one of the hottest days of the year. We came here and went ice skating, because that's what my daughter wanted to do for her birthday. It was great.
So you enjoyed it? My daughter used to come here ice skating every week, actually.
It was pretty, it was absolutely excellent, but it was old school. It's like when I used to go ice skating when I was little. Richmond we used to go to. And of course, my most recent ice skating experiences have been those ones they put up at Christmas, you know?
Right, yeah, yeah.
Somerset House and that.
Right.
This is much more municipal. Definitely the £5 rather than the £40 tank.
Yeah.
This is where all the telly used to come out of. Brilliant. I was taking a picture of an aerial then, by the way.
Yeah.
It's not just me going, no, telly used to come out of that building. So the view of London is obscured by mist.
It's a glorious scene, though, isn't it?
Yeah, really good. I'd be really sad not to do York. It's so beautiful up there. Don't know if you saw that photo I got. I was walking around the walls.
Yeah.
And the Minster.
Yes, I saw a bit.
Was
that,
in a cloud. It was so good.
You can't do everything.
Can't do everything
when you're injured.
No, that's right. You've got to draw the line somewhere. Like your plantar fascia. We need an easier name. Why isn't there a medieval name for that? Bad bone. Bad bone, as you call it.
It seems to be the running injury, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And everyone seems to get it. Everyone's waiting to get it.
Well, look at the view. There is no view. You can't see anything.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Rack, says the raven. Rack. The raven himself is hoarse. Oh, do you know what I did on Saturday afternoon?
Yeah.
I went to Regent's Park Open Air Theatre.
Oh, all right.
For the penultimate performance of their summer show.
Nice.
Which was Jesus Christ Superstar.
Oh, was it really?
Yeah.
Was it good fun? It was,
well, I was just about to say it was absolutely excellent, but good fun is a bit strong.
Yeah.
Because,
yeah,
you know, as my, again, perspicacious wife pointed out, it's not a very happy ending, is it?
No. No, it's not.
I think a bit of, to be, you know, that they could have included a bit of, I don't know, resurrection or something.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But that really isn't the point. It was a superb production. I think it's a funny one because you've got to do Jesus Christ Superstar properly. I mean, you kind of got to do it properly by law because, you know, the whole thing only exists with the approval of the church.
I've never actually seen it. So what is it? What is? It's a musical.
It's a rock opera.
Jesus' life.
Get it right. So it's a rock opera. It's sung through. You know, there's no talking.
Right.
And it's rock. It's very much like the Who's Tommy.
Right.
You know, there are flutes and brass on it, but there's loads of bits that go dun 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 and stuff like that.
Disciples fishing.
Yeah, but
cast your net out to the deepest waters.
They don't do that, you know, right, because basically it's very narrow focus.
Right.
They come to Jesus,
yeah,
when he's already incredibly popular. He's already apparently done all his miracles and stuff.
Right.
And he's about to go to Jerusalem.
So he's already a superstar.
He's a superstar. It's about him being a superstar.
Yeah.
So he goes to Jerusalem and the priests are going, well, I don't know about this. You know, it's basically the last
few days.
5 days of his life or less, you know. So you've got him getting angry in the temple.
Yeah.
Him getting betrayed by Judas.
Yeah.
The Last Supper.
Yep.
And then, you know, the whole last third of it, actually the last half, is him, because once they've got him, they didn't just crucify him, you know, they beat him up,
yes,
the 39 lashes, all this stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're trying to, and all the people, it's all about sort of manifest destiny. So you kind of, you know, none of the baddies are baddies.
Right.
Judas is kind of doing what he sort of thinks that Jesus wants him to do.
Okay.
The priests want it to be someone else's problem. Herod, he's quite a baddie, but he doesn't want anything to do with it.
Yeah.
And then Pilate is like the official baddie. He looks like a baddie, acts like a baddie.
But he's not.
But then
really.
In his song, he's like, why do you... He hasn't done anything wrong. Why do you want me to kill him?
Yeah.
And then they kill him. The end.
That's it.
Jesus Christ. Superstar.
Right.
It's a good show. It's not... But yeah, I think obviously it's got this 70s... kitschiness. I think it's a real scoop to do it properly without doing it ironically. You know?
So it's not done ironically?
No, no.
Right.
I mean, you could, if you want to be cynical about interpretive dance and people going, yeah,
then you could
could go and raise an eyebrow, but it wasn't, that would be inferred, not implied. And the performance was just, you know, music and the singing and the commitment and the violence.
Who played the,
no,
the
no
lead?
One, no one you'd know.
Right.
But great singers.
Yeah. Talking about the dark side.
Yeah. Faster, easier the dark side is.
I might be tempted to go on Strava.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Only because I haven't done it yet. I've just got this watch because my watch broke.
Yeah.
So I bought a new watch.
Yeah.
Which is a fairly cheap range Garmin. I say cheap. It was 160 quid.
Yeah, so it's not
That's cheap. Not cheap, is
no.
it?
No.
But my goodness, you can spend 400 quid on a watch if you want.
Yeah.
But, so I've got one. And that can link me up. Of course, this comes with a proviso of it would be me doing it.
Yeah.
So just me getting it linked up to
where is that
whatever
phone?
Strava.
Where's that phone we got?
Yeah.
For you?
Yeah. Whatever Strava is, for me to get linked up to it would be a feat of. It would be something I've never done before.
I think.
But the option is there.
So the step is not just that you might go on Strava, but that I have to help you set it up.
No. I'll do a bit of research. It's just, it's what I want to, isn't it? I think he was coming off the back of yesterday where
yeah.
was a desire to get a bit quicker again.
Yeah.
He might, I don't know. It's obviously something we've resisted.
Yeah, yeah.
I won't want to put every run on Strava.
Yeah, but I think...
Which I suppose that's not really the point, is it?
The point. I mean, and you do, even if you could be on Strava, it's a really good way of measuring what you're doing. So
right.
you could be on Strava and just have it completely private. So you're not sharing it with anyone. No one knows what you're doing.
Right.
And then measure all your runs. It's still better to measure all your runs because then you get the comparison.
Yes, yeah, yeah. It's like a mobile.
You know how many miles you've done in a month and...
It's like yeah. a mobile diary, isn't it? Because I've noticed since my running diary that I physically made ran out about 6 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And things just tail off unless you're writing it. For me, anyway, unless you... Do you keep a diary?
Not of running.
Of your runs, right. Okay, well,
no,
I
do use Runkeeper for most of
right,
my runs.
Right, okay.
So I do measure my runs.
Right.
But the thing is, I don't always.
Right, okay.
So, you know, sometimes Runkeeper will turn around and say, oh, well done, you've done 21 miles this week. And I'm like,
yeah.
No, I've done 35.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
You know, but that's a very... that's obviously, that's only pretty much 1 week in my life. I've really sold
quite
myself in that story.
Quite a high range.
Oh, a nice tunnel. This is like yeah. Clockwork Orange. And could catch up to some droogs and do some ultraviolence.
So, yeah, in terms of keeping a note of it, it undoubtedly helps motivationally, doesn't
absolutely.
It?
Absolutely, and also you've got to do it all the time, and it promotes accuracy. You know, and you really, it's only a community thing if you want it to be.
Yes.
It's ultimately a really good measurement of what you're up to.
But also a thing of like, because with me and social media,
yeah,
what I tend to do at the moment is... Wake up, key into Facebook,
yeah.
Get a bit annoyed by something,
yeah.
Then get off Facebook, and then go back on 20 minutes later, get annoyed by something else. It's just not working for me, the whole social media thing.
I hear that.
So my idea is maybe just engage in a bit more of a focused way.
Yeah,
I really like my running. Why not just... So when I'm engaging, it's about running.
I think that's
and then
right.
Just nip in and out rather than this kind of, you know, amorphous... drag that it becomes.
Yeah, and I think for better or worse, this is that lovely terrace, the old secret railway from Ali Pali back to across to Highgate. Let's see if I can get Ali Pali behind us in a running shot. I mean, it's selfie running because since the view of London, isn't there? Is Ali Pali there? Yeah, and a nice wave from you. That's perfect. Because I think that, like it or not,
it's here to stay.
Well, they're that, but no, not that. I was going to say that running is a subculture.
Yeah.
You know, it's so... Obviously, it's because she's a famous newsreader, but it's interesting that Sophie Raworth has two different Twitter accounts.
Yes.
And I don't... You know, if I'm on Facebook or Twitter, obviously, from an external point of view, I'm sure it sounds like I'm going on and on.
Thank you.
Going on and on about running all the time. But if I really want to talk running, distances and times... Then we'll talk to the running commentary community.
Yes,
you know they're
yeah.
interested. You know, it's a separate, yeah. it's yes. a sub community.
And I like that. That's
yeah,
one,
it's
that's
good
one of the aspects I really like about it.
Yeah.
I get it. I understand it. And so, might be best to just do that as opposed to get depressed with everyone else.
Yeah. And when it comes down to, you know, we've talked in the past about competitiveness. I have a very odd relationship with competitiveness.
Yeah.
Because I think everyone, you know, everyone really does talk about how essentially, particularly if you're doing a long run, you're only really racing against yourself. But I'd really rather make that official.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
can we all get on board with this?
Yeah, I don't mind being competitive, but I really don't like being competed with.
Right.
Which is a pretty hypocritical scenario. But, you know, it's true. If someone else gets a good time, someone else runs faster than me, all I want to do is celebrate that. There's no kind of, oh, they were faster than me. I haven't got that. And I think that there is also a masculine thing of sometimes people can only really express banter and affection in a negative and competitive way.
Yes, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that really doesn't work for me. Again, I respect it. This is who people are. That's what life is like. But you forgive me.
They're trying to be friendly, aren't they? Yeah. Yeah, sometimes I think I'm competitive... If I feel I'm fit.
Yeah.
I mean, like yesterday, I wasn't really competitive. I was doing my best, but people were overtaking me. I was overtaking them.
Yeah.
Some guy overtook me with like 150 meters to go. I just knew I couldn't do anything, you know. Yeah, I tried, yeah. I just knew I couldn't.
And based on what's available to
you. Know, and he, at the end it was like, well done, mate. I mean, I just didn't have anything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But relays are good fun because you've always got people in front and behind you. You're just in that line, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
You're
yeah.
overtaking people. You're being overtaken. It's quite a nice continuous.
Yeah.
You've always got something to go for.
Again, that's where the hypocrisy is, isn't it? Because I love that, you know, when you're in a race, whether it's a marathon or a park run, the other people there is a real inspiration.
Yeah.
I'm uncomfortable when it's personal, really. I'm just treating them like extras in my life, I suppose. Oh, I'm worried I'm going to run into this post.
Oh, mate.
Oh, no.
Hey.
Oh, it's just fine.
That's a soft landing, isn't it? That wasn't a bad sofa in its day.
Do you want to sit down?
I bet that's seen some action. What do you reckon?
What you mean? Well, give it a sniff. Have you got one of those UV lights? Have a look and see what.
I bet it's had a lot of action.
I'm sure they Febrezed it yeah. before they appended it in the street. So
we're coming into Highgate Woods now.
Highgate Woods.
It's a little journey we've had there.
I don't know if you guys do it. I find it genuinely every now and again it's like turning over your pillow to take a run that you always do and do it backwards.
Yeah.
So, oh, this is nice. Ooh.
It's a different way of looking at things.
Yes.
You do get wrapped in the same, not only the same routes, but the same way of doing these runs, don't you?
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. That's why mixing it up is so important, you know. Yeah. The original moment when we went to Close to a Park and you said, let's do some fartlek.
Yeah.
You changed my life, Paul.
Life-changing
changed
moment.
Changed my life.
You can run at different paces.
You chose to run,
yeah, yeah. You can run fast and slow.
What? That's still news.
I'll be in Treadmill, Dubai, so...
Yeah.
You were there recently, weren't you? I mean, it's too hot to go outside.
Yeah, that's right. But the funny thing about an air-conditioned gym is the temperature is like the running machine. It's not quite the same as real coldness.
Yeah.
It's basically a veneer on hotness. So you walk in there and think, oh, it feels cold, like a glass of water in here. And you start running. You start sweating.
You get a real sweater. Yeah. In your treadmill.
It's like your body knows what the temperature is underneath the aircon. Look at this misty woodland. That's incredible. Brilliant.
It's got a bit of magic about it, hasn't it?
I hope you don't get lost. I was just going to refer back to paying £8 to getting into Dolby Forest. I just realised how relentlessly tight we're sounding. Well, it's quite refreshing that you spent all that money on that watch.
Well, I thought, why not? I mean, I haven't spent anything.
Is it right or straight on?
No, we're going straight on.
Okay. Oh,
I've spent anything on myself for ages. I thought, I'm going to use it. Having said that, I'm not wearing it now. But I kind of bought it for the road relay, because I wanted to see what pace I was.
Yeah, yeah.
And I thought, why not? You know.
Years ago, I bought myself a £40 watch from Tesco.
Yeah.
As you'll plainly know, it was a digital watch with a vibrating function.
Yeah.
Just, you know, 50% of comedians have got them.
Yeah.
I'd never used a timer on my watch to do my 20 minutes, but I wanted to time in a 10-minute set. I was trying to get on your mate Michael's Comedy Roadshow.
Right.
And had
so
a tryout gig.
Top 10, right.
So I was going on stage at shows doing the 10 I wanted to do and feeling the buzz on my wrist.
Yeah.
10 minutes in. I only did it like 3 times. Never used the vibrating function again.
It's too off-putting, isn't it?
Yeah, and that was all years ago.
Yeah.
And recently that watch died.
Right.
And
right.
I actually went to a... Ow. That's okay. We just tangled with a branch. It was quite sadomasochistic, wasn't
it?
You yipped and skipped and I got whipped. I went back to this beautiful watch that my wife got me years ago. Frightening amount of years ago. And I had it fixed. I thought, oh, it'd be so good to have a nice, posh, stylish watch again. I'm missing my cheapo comedian's watch.
Are you really?
I keep going to prod the big button on the front that makes it light up.
I find the vibrating thing really off-putting because I've started going on stage sometimes recording my performances with the iPhone.
Yes.
And setting an alarm at the same time.
Yeah.
Then once
and also your Garmin, just to see how fast you're doing
your set. How far I walked on stage, yeah.
And if you're better than other comedians or worse.
And then Strava my gigs. Laughs per minute. But once the vibrator goes in your in your by your chest there.
Yeah.
I get really distracted.
Yeah.
I just think, oh, it's over now. You know, yeah. See ya. It's gone. I'm off. You've had your time.
There's a... If you don't know non-comedians, a lot of, you know, most of your comedy clubs have a light, have a red light, and they'll say, when do you want it? And you can have it like a minute or 2 minutes or 3 minutes or
classic
5 minutes.
Classic light and routine, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And and actually, that's really good because it's external, you know?
Yes.
And you don't think about it.
Yeah.
You just get out there and do your comedy. And then when the light goes, it's like, oh, good, okay. As you've Adam Bloom's joke, where his girlfriend says, can we just spend 20 minutes talking about something other than comedy? Yeah. He says, yeah, sure, can you light me at 19?
That's nice. That's a good joke for comics, isn't it?
Yeah, it's lovely. I love comedians' jokes, though.
Yeah. That's nice, man.
There's a few of them.
This is lovely. Isn't it nice and clear today?
It's really... optimum condition. September classic.
So obviously Strava can form a bit of a kind of never-ending pressure system, though, can't it? That's, to me, that's why I've always resisted it, that idea that it'll make me run faster than I normally run or for longer. That kind of showy-offy thing.
Yeah, but equally, if you can use that as a power for good,
yeah,
then it's great. You know, it's the same principle as always having an event to train towards, you know?
Yeah.
You just got to, like any of this stuff, you've got to take it with a pinch of salt.
Or maybe inspire people to run longer and slower. Look how slow Tonkinson's running.
Yeah.
He likes running slow.
Slow running.
Yeah.
But I think that is genuinely, that is a good thing to share, because... you're good at that. You know, you can, if you go off and run 60 miles, you'll take it a bit of a noodle.
Yes, yeah.
And then you can run a, what's your mile time? 5.5 something?
About 5:30.
3-hour marathon. I bet there's thousands of people out there who would have trouble squaring that circle.
Yeah,
it is. But, you know, I'm not sure that will really carry that sense that you're being educational.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Although, I'm sure... as I speak, as people listening to this in the future going, yes, get Tonks on Strava.
Yeah.
We want to see what he's doing. We want to know. But it's like the other thing is that it's your run, isn't it? That's the widest thing. And I think that's sort of generational to a certain extent. I'm absolutely happy to tell people where we went and encourage people to go to the nice places where we run. I don't really want people to run exactly the same loops, purely because that means they're missing out on the bit where you decide where you want to run.
Yeah, I suppose so, yeah.
But I suppose some people don't see that as a pleasurable bit, and that's the difference.
Consistently gobsmacked by how nice it is.
Yeah, that's really
We're
good.
So lucky, aren't we, to live near the woods like this.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I was thinking that in Wiltshire on Friday morning, whenever it was. Oh, this is so nice. I wish I lived here, but it wasn't any nicer than this.
Yeah. It's a great thing.
We should really get all the outside places on some kind of app that compares them.
Yeah.
So we can find out which is the nicest.
Yeah.
The longest. So, I feel bad now that, you know, you're not having your heart ripped out by sending your son off to university. I haven't fallen over, you know. Yeah. Apologies if this is less dramatic than our last run.
It was really interesting, though, George, leaving, because obviously I came home and I got really drunk on Sunday night.
Yeah, obviously.
Just because he'd gone kind of thing. But I get a feeling that... it just gives you a bit more... It was a feeling of like a sort of parcel delivered. Or like a job well done sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Obviously the job continues of being a parent and being a dad. Yeah. But
and it doesn't end when you're 18. No, it doesn't end when you're 21. It never stops.
It never stops, but it certainly changes.
Yeah.
And it's quite nice... going to sleep on a Friday night, not having to wait up till 3:30 on a Saturday morning to wait for him to come home just because you're worried and you don't know where he is.
Yeah.
Do you know, he's just out though. It's up to him, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's quite liberating in a way.
Yeah, yeah.
And I've sort of colonised his room already into a bit of an office.
Yeah.
You just grow a bit, don't you?
Yeah, yeah.
As he does, as he extends, you extend.
I mean, you've sold everything he ever owned.
Yeah, I've sold everything and taken his name off the will.
Yeah.
You know, there's been certain changes.
Yeah, yeah.
Changed the locks.
Yep.
He's already phoning for money.
Yeah.
Even though his grant's come through. So, can I have, I need £20 for toiletries. I'm like, no, but that's part of your budget. No, but that's for going out. I say, it's not this, it's all part of the same thing. It's like, I need deodorant. Go buy it.
Yeah, that is an issue. Meanwhile, at our stage of things, you know, secondary school, just trying to be on top of all their stuff. It's the same principle at a different stage. You kind of think, have you got this, have you got that, take this, take that.
Yeah.
And you don't want it to, really, they should be learning it's their responsibility. But when you learn it be their responsibility, they don't do it.
Yeah, totally, totally. I mean, the first couple of years at secondary school. I mean,
first 2 to 6 years.
We had to get Rudy, wake him up, pack, sort
it. Sorry, it's right, a lovely back. Scene at the cafe in the woods today.
It's lovely, yeah.
We were sitting on the veranda because it's not actually that cold. It's like, it is like a Moomin cafe, that one.
Beautiful.
Gorgeous.
Beautiful. Yeah, we had to basically pack Rudy's school bag every day the first few years at secondary school.
Yeah, yeah.
Standing, I mean, I'm still driving him to school.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
It's funny meeting her, actually.
Well, my kids don't get driven to school anymore because I haven't got a car.
Have you still not sorted?
Yeah, well, we're between cars. We're not trying to sort out.
Right, okay. So you're living life without a car.
That's right.
And how are you finding it?
Well, obviously it's different.
Yeah.
I think that you've got to look at what you'd use them for, you know.
Weekly shop.
Yeah, shop's a difficult one. You've got to, but we do. But again, these days we have a smaller kitchen and we often shop local,
like
so
it.
We don't do the Sainsbury's monthly. Yeah, you know? And of course, there's always the internet.
Yep.
We're not doing internet shopping at the moment, but we could.
Yeah.
And it's great to live in a place where you can walk to great shops and get great stuff. You know, that's the last I think. So that one's out.
Yeah.
Getting the kids to school if they're late or on a rainy day, it's a shame not to be able to do that. But equally,
they know that.
They know
so
that.
So they make allowances, yeah.
They don't leave late.
Yeah.
They wear their coats.
Yeah.
So that's that one out.
Yeah.
I think when we first had a car, when we had babies, it was for very much going to see the family out of town.
Yeah.
And that's all changed.
Of course, yeah.
And there's other ways to do it as well, you know. And then there's going to gigs, which of course, as discussed in his very woods, is a huge part of the comedian's existence.
But
I love not doing it.
Yes.
It's just the driving time is low quality time.
Yeah.
You know? The only thing you can do is talk to people on the phone. And even then you're not driving properly.
Yeah. Even then it's illegal.
That's right.
And or podcasts. I've started listening to the old podcast.
Yeah, that's good. But really, I listen to a bit of podcast, but then you've got to deal with some tech.
Yeah.
I like an audiobook.
Yeah.
But I'm much faster at reading than whoever's reading the audiobook is.
Yeah.
So it's still wasted time to
listen. It's always a tad frustrating, isn't it?
I mean, the last time I really enjoyed an audiobook was Bill Bryson's One Summer, 1927.
Yeah.
I was driving to Newcastle. Must have got through, you know, quite a lot of it. But I got to Newcastle a quarter of an hour before Waterstones closed. Right. Sprinted into town.
Yeah.
Bought the book and read the rest of it.
That's funny.
So really, I'm just too impatient for the whole deal. And
driving can be a hell of a lot slower. I mean, I had this gig in sort of Essexy on Friday.
Yeah.
Just like the wrong place to go out of town. Like sort of east, sort of M11, Dartford crossing, M25, sort of nightmare.
Yeah.
It took me 3.5 hours to go 40 miles.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's not unusual, is it?
No, no.
But it's bizarre, isn't it?
But we factor that in, that's right. Ooh, steps.
Steps. Sealed steps.
Yeah, yeah, really.
Sealed steps.
A man trap. Wow. That could have gone worse.
Did you recover okay from your fall?
Yeah, right. Yeah. Well, look, that's my grazed arm. It's all better.
Nice.
It's shame in a way. I look pretty looked pretty cool for a day or two. It was fine, it was really fine. It wasn't very bad fall at all. I think it's that thing, a fall where you kind of have time to realise it's happening. Seems really dramatic, you know, it takes up a second of your life rather than just an instant. But actually, it means you've got time to land sensibly. Throw the phone into a grassy bank. Not go into the canal. Generally fold up and soften up. I don't fall over anymore because I'm a brittle old man, but I've still got some residual skills.
Yeah.
Go right back to judo, funnily enough. So, yeah, when I was 10,
yeah,
I used to do judo. Have we talked about this before?
I don't think so, no.
I liked judo. I think I was kind of good at it. It's a good one to come up today because of this thing about competitiveness. Because I liked it, you know, you can really use your weight in judo. And I was big then.
Yeah.
So that was great. You know, really.
Is it using their weight against them or using your own weight, kind of thing?
Well, the other people were supposed to use my weight against them.
Right.
And it's, you've got to throw people and you've got to hold them down.
Yeah.
But it's very formal. There's specific throws and holds. And when you're practicing it, you know, you do it a specific way. You grab this lapel and put that leg behind
that
leg.
Yeah.
And I was bigger than my classmates and we're all new at it, so. Yeah, it was generally easier for me to flip the little fella on the floor than it was for him to push over the big oak.
Yeah.
And there's loads of falling over. You'd practice the rolling break fall, which is, you know, you're in a big square of gym matting and you basically run across the middle and then just do like a huge flappy forward roll.
Yeah, you know, I
like a
that.
Long body
that,
forward
yeah.
roll. And I love that. And you gradually learn that if you fall through your left hand, like get your left hand down
right.
to kind of start the braking system, but equally it's soft. You're not trying to stop yourself falling, you're just trying to roll through it. If you get that left hand down, it's just falling over doesn't hurt.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that, you know, until you hit your 30s.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was such a huge thing in my life. Once I'd learned to fall over, you couldn't stop me for a couple of decades there because falling over is hilarious,
yeah.
right?
It's a right one.
So, yeah, I was enjoying that. And you've got practice and theory. So you get your theory and practice dance. They're the red stripes on your belt.
Yeah.
And when you've got three, you get a colour or the next colour.
Right.
But you have to go to a formalised grading so that the judo community can say, yes, this person deserves this next belt.
Mr. Deering.
It's not necessarily as racist as that.
Is it not?
So I got my yellow belt in theory, which
yeah.
is the first one after your white starter's belt.
Judo does come from the east, though, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It wasn't really racist.
Yeah.
I was teasing you.
Yeah.
I think you were reffing old television as well. Which
I was. It was more of a kind of
I do enjoy
TV. So you went to your grading?
Yeah. Don't go, no. No, Paul, no. Oh, God. So my dad, who, as I think has been established, is a very gentle soul. Although, great sportsman, very competitive. But
yeah.
He knew I wasn't. And he took me to this grading, this borough grading out somewhere near Uxbridge.
Right.
Huge sports hall. And all I had to do was do what I normally did at judo. And they give me a yellow belt and on I went, right? So I walked out onto the mat and this total stranger angrily threw me on the floor over and over and over again. And that was the end of judo for me. And it was so nice that my dad was there because he just got it.
Yeah.
He was like...
What, you saw how brutal it was?
Yeah, and just that it wasn't for me.
Yeah.
You know, he saw that look of bewilderment
yeah.
in my eyes. That wasn't any fun. And that's the end of that.
I think sometimes you come up against that when you do a bit of martial arts. Or there's a certain kind of character, myself included, who... You know, like done a bit of boxing or whatever, or you flirt with a bit of martial arts. And then I was chatting to someone who actually got into it and decided to do like a formal sort of fight competition.
Yes.
And he's just a nice lad, just a nice fella who's into it, into the form of it and the exercise and the discipline. And then came up against someone who he described as looking like the human embodiment of a Rottweiler.
Yes.
And he just kicked him in the face straight away, broke his nose, threw him over.
Yeah.
And that's not what he kind of wants.
No, no, it's not what I came for.
Yeah, but you know that is within the rules. This boy was entitled to do that
the
within
other the, people
within
doing
the
it
parameter.
Properly.
He was like, "I want to hurt you." Do you know what I mean? I'm here to.
Yeah.
And I think some people
out of my system.
Yeah, some people don't like that.
No,
and I include myself in that. Yeah, you know?
I think when I was younger, as a big fella, and also like a bit of a show off. Not that I'm saying either things aren't true now. You quite often get into those quite fighty situations.
Yeah.
And, you know, just every time I've ever been in a... I've never been in a fight, but, you know, people hit you at school and stuff.
Yeah.
And you just think, what's that all about?
Yeah.
What's happening now? You know, it's just so base.
Yeah.
I got a guy started when I was brand new at my secondary school. This guy started... You know, trying to pick a fight with me because I was a bit ridiculous. I was wearing one glove and wielding a pink yo-yo, going, what? And so this guy had a go at me, and I, you know, I said, yeah? And
yeah.
I spoke back to him. He just punched me hard in the face.
Yeah.
I've never...
That's brutal, isn't it?
Never known anything like that. I was like, what? What?
Yeah.
And then... I was like, oh, well, I think I had got it together enough to say, oh, punch me in the face. That's really clever, because that's what I was going to do. And then he hit me again. He hit me just under the ribs.
Right.
Just in the kind of arch of my ribs. And
winded you?
Yeah, well, I literally made this sound. So even the Oscar Wildean high-handed comebacks were gone then.
So you've decided to punch me under the ribs.
I suppose that means well,
the banter continues. He obviously knew what he was doing, this guy.
Actually led to me getting some friends, because, you know, pity is a great start point for friendships.
Yes. No, you're right. I had a couple of fights at school, not particularly successful. The first one I had was I was a second year, and this fourth year was being a bit rude to a couple of girls who I was trying to impress. And I kind of got hold of him, David Keld. I got hold of him by the shirt and ran down some stairs and pushed him against some railings.
Yeah, good.
Which was a good start.
Strong,
good start to it, protecting the women. Oh, yeah. And then he punched me in the head.
Yeah.
My head hit the...
That's a good comeback. Nice one, David.
That was, I appreciate what you did there.
David counters with a punch to the head.
With a hard punch to the head.
Yeah, yeah.
My head
You know when one of those has happened to you, don't you?
Yeah. My head hit the wall.
Ooh.
I sat down and started crying.
Yeah, that's reasonable.
Good tactic.
Yeah,
good
very tactic. Reasonable. I mean, that can really end a fight.
But he broke his hand. And started crying as well, so leaving me to claim victory.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe.
On a technicality.
TKO. Yeah.
Well, I would base it on whether he knew your head was going to hit the wall or not. I got another one.
But it got me a lot of pity points with the girls.
Yeah, great.
The girls loved it.
Well done.
Yeah. Real magnet. The crying kid on the steps. Real. He's a real catch. Yeah. Tom broke his hand with his head.
Giving me a hard time at lunch.
Yeah.
And I did. I was pretty pleased with this. He was just going on and on and on at me. It was all based on the name they were calling me at the time, Flabberwocky.
Right.
But he was going a lot deeper, talking about what was eating my lunch.
Right.
Flabberwocky, yes, you're going to die. Da, da, da.
Yeah.
I took my knife.
Yeah.
It sounds like it's going to get very dark. It doesn't.
I like it. I like this.
I filled my knife with a kind of mashed potato and gravy slurry. Yeah. And I just quietly wiped it off on his arm, on his white shirt sleeve.
Nice.
Oh, it was great.
Nice.
Because I had the satisfaction of him being livid. He's like, what did it happen? He was so worried about going to lessons and being in trouble, and you know, the way I'd sort of broken the social rules.
Right.
It was wonderful. So, it should be noted, this and that other fella, the one who hit me and made me go, was an amateur boxer.
Right, yeah.
I'd kind of learnt my lesson. This guy was a pretty sad bloke.
Right.
He was, you know, smaller than me.
That's good.
From
That's
my
good.
Choose group.
Yeah.
And he's right, I'm going to fight you. We're going to meet up school and have a fight. Or meet at lunchtime. Meet at lunchtime, have a fight.
Yeah.
Boys changing rooms. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
That doesn't happen. This isn't a book.
Yeah.
And but then the word went round. People get around saying,
it's awful.
Oh, you've got to go to the change room.
It's awful.
What? Yeah. I really couldn't work out. It was like a very low-level Gary Cooper in High Noon.
Yeah.
Is this really going to happen?
Yeah.
And so, you know, for my own honour, I turned up at the boys' change rooms.
Yeah.
There was about 450 people in there.
Of course. Of course.
Girls and boys.
Yeah.
How did this... Where were the staff?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Where's the staff when you need them? The staff are there working the corners.
Yeah. Like security.
Taping your gloves on, you know.
Let it play. Yeah. That's it. They're like in the Bourne film. Yeah. The staff from watching it on screens. Let it play out. But I still went in going, don't be ridiculous. You know, you were horrible to me.
Yeah.
I was horrible to you. What's happening? You know, what's supposed to happen now?
Yeah.
But no one was having any of that. You know, he didn't want to back down.
Yeah.
And everyone else wanted
probably
to see a fight.
Scared as well. Two scared blokes. It was nutty. People.
Do you know what it was
violence.
A lot like? Jesus Christ Superstar.
Right.
You know, because in the end, the crowd just sell him out. He's like, look, there's some amount of peace.
Of course.
And they're just saying, but we want to see the other guy beat you up.
We all killed Christ. We all made daring fight.
Yeah. So, but then this is when the weight advantage really worked, because he went in. He eventually made the move and he went for me, right?
Yeah.
He basically got low.
Yeah.
Got his shoulder down and sent it towards my stomach. Which was
a big mistake.
Yeah, well cushioned.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't have the precision and skill of the boxer.
Yeah.
He just landed in my stomach with a gentle puff.
Yeah.
And then tried to, I don't know if you've ever tried to punch someone repeatedly in the back.
Yeah.
While you're bent over into the front, but you can't really get the angle of it, you know.
Yeah.
So, and I'm still, so now this guy is like round me, you know, with his, I'm looking down at his back.
Yeah.
And his fists are beating pointlessly.
Yes.
Off.
He's kind of
my back.
Helplessly skewered himself.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. He's really stuck.
Yeah.
And I'm.
You're still trying
I'm
to even
still
way out.
Yeah. Hands wide, saying to him, "See, let's not do this."
Yeah, this guy doesn't know what he's doing either.
But he didn't stop. So I bent forward.
Yeah.
And I put my arms around his stomach.
Yeah.
And I picked him up.
Right.
So now he's upside down. And
that's a bad position as a fighter.
Next?
As a school street fighter, that's bad news.
That's right.
Please don't tell me you dropped him on his head.
No, I didn't. I don't want any trouble. So I kind of carried him.
I don't want
a few
trouble.
Paces. It was good for me because as you can imagine, got quite a big laugh.
Yeah.
And then he was beaten. And then I put him down. And then I think the probably the teachers in the staff room, when they'd finished laughing, came down and thought we'd better put an end to this. So, thank goodness,
funny.
We both needed a way out, didn't we?
That's funny.
It's no way to resolve a conflict.
We had huge fights at school because we had Richard, I think we were talking before, we had Richard Dunson who fought Muhammad Ali.
Right.
He was a big boxer, so everyone wanted to fight him.
Yeah.
We had the Ingle brothers who ended up fighting Nassim Hamed.
Right.
They were proper boxers.
Right.
Just huge fights all the time.
Great.
Yeah, it was massive. It's good when you weren't involved in, but that was like, you know, hundreds of kids just massed, just waiting for this violence, you know.
As we come up off the Parkland walk, that lady just went past us running well.
Yeah.
It reminded me, and talking of competitiveness.
Hiya.
Morning. I saw a bloke, he came past me.
Yeah.
And he was running really well, and I was getting out, I was making a, I was kind of 8.5 minute mask.
Yeah.
And he came past me looking like he was training for an ultra. He had
right.
It's quite hot yesterday, as you say.
Yeah.
And he was wearing a coat and a little beanie hat.
Yeah.
Little pack on his back, which I think had water built into it and stuff. And he was his running style was good. He was running like this, right? You gotta get in front of him. Like steady.
Yes, yeah.
But making really like them fast. Didn't look fast, but he was leaving in a big hurry.
Yeah.
And I was like, God, that's good, and he looks like he's running all day. How can you be running so much faster than me? And do you know what? He stopped.
Right.
100 yards further on. Oh, that made me happy.
Yeah.
So.
You what, love? Not really, no. You best stay on it. Best stay on it, yeah.
Oh, it's bad luck.
Yeah, she didn't know
she was going well, but she was going wrong. Hey, we've all got lost. We've all been lost. But yeah, it just goes to show. Sometimes you can't be out of the competition. You've just got to find your own relationship with it. You get that calming going.
Just got to stay in there and keep them on a thread. You never know how other people are feeling. They might look good.
Yeah.
Before you know it. With any luck, they collapsed.
I'll always tell myself if I'm on the towpath and someone overtakes me that they're either not running as far as me or they're going to stop any minute.
Yeah.
And it's often true. Oh, look, you've got one of those nice trees outside your house. Let's get that one behind us for this.
Oh, excuse me.
Bless thee.
Excuse me.
Hay fever season. It's not. It's not hay fever season.
That was a nice little run.
It was really nice, thank you. I think we also hit on some truths.
It's always nice to end up talking about violence.
Yeah, exactly, and how we did well out of it.
Yeah,
it's great to be violent because girls really like it.
The moment when you picked him up, though, that's great. I can just imagine
I'm glad it came back to I'd forgotten that. Okay, we ran just under 7 miles.
Right, we'll do that.
And it was very nice.
All day long, mate, all day.
I do all day.
You'll take that, mate. You'll do that. Stick that in the bank.
Before we finish, when you get back from Dubai, Strava. I've had this idea. Do you think, I'm going to ask you if we should do this, and listeners, this
just
goes
for
out 100th. To you too. No, it's not right. For 100. Don't turn off.
No, I'm not
there. Shall we do one soon on running machines, on treadmills, and assess our experience? Think about it.
Will it mess up on sound, though? Not that
well,
sound's that
we'll
very good
find
anyway.
Out.
Yeah.
It won't rain.
Yeah. Yeah, we could try that. Yeah, we could try a little treadmill.
We want to know what you think about treadmills. If we're going to do that, we'll be sharing your opinions on the treadmill factor. And Paul's going to get in the treadmill in Dubai.
And what about... I mean, we're going to have some ideas, but what about some ideas for our 100th? How many are we 8 weeks off?
Here's what I think we should do.
Right.
I think
we're coming up to our 100th podcast, which for us is big. That's big.
We're going to do it on the Monday morning, right?
Right.
And we should do a half drinking, half running podcast.
Right.
So you basically go for a recorded pub crawl on the night before, and then 6 hours later,
right.
Run 10 miles.
Right.
Put the two together and let people really experience our lives from the inside.
some kind of booze run combo.
Let's have a think about it.
100 shots for 100 miles. Yeah.
Anyway, I've got to get back to Finchley Park.
Yeah, I'm going
to
give you.
I've got to have a fight.
Yeah. We'd do a big fight. That bloke wants a comeback.
Ian Turner's been in touch on Facebook.
So give us a shout. We're back in the house now. Get in touch on Facebook. We've had a lot of social media stuff recently. It's always nice when people reach out. Loads of events coming up.
Exactly. It's event season, isn't it? And we're always fascinated to hear. Like, congratulations to the people in Berlin and Barnstaple where it rained a lot.
Yes. Yeah.
Have a good week.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Get with Paul Tolkinson and Rob Deering. Get.